Let's read from Colossians chapter 4, just verses 2 to 4. Very short reading. Colossians chapter 4 from verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Now, as a church, we have four emphases: prayer, evangelism, welcome or fellowship, and teaching. And these are things that, of course, every church will emphasize, but each church will do so in its particular way because of its particular situation. And when we started the church 14 years ago, we wanted that we should focus on God, a God-centered church. And of course, that in large part means that we want it to be a church where we pray, where prayer is important. Because if we're man-centered, then it's all about our activity. If we're God-centered, we're seeking to rely upon Him. And we express that in prayer. And yet prayer can be such a difficult thing. In one sense, you think, well, it ought to be easy, just like that the cry of a baby cries out for food or for warmth and lets out a cry, and the parent rushes to help that baby. And in a sense, prayer is no different. It's a cry to God. And you think, well, what could be more easy than that? And yet, we find prayer so difficult. Prayer is also a huge privilege, to be able to talk to the Creator of the heavens and the earth, to God who is eternal, and to be able to speak to Him and know that He hears you. It's a huge privilege. And yet we forget to pray. Our minds wander when we're praying. And to be able to pray for more than a few minutes without some kind of distraction seems almost impossible. Prayer is something of a battle. And of course it requires faith. Prayer is, in a sense, that the ultimate expression of faith. Something needs doing, and instead of getting on with it, you sit down and you pray. You're not doing anything practical for that situation. But you believe that God can intervene, that God is all-powerful, and that God can do something about it. Prayer is an expression of faith. Now, I have one simple aim this morning. I want that we can be encouraged and urged to pray for the gospel to bear fruit in Marston. Beginning in Colossians, Paul gives thanks to God for the fruit that was coming as a result of the gospel. The gospel was bearing fruit in the whole world. And he goes on to pray for the Colossian Christians that they too would bear fruit in their lives. And that is what we want as a church, that both for ourselves individually we will grow in maturity, but also that we will see the gospel bearing fruit here in Marston. When people hear of Jesus Christ, that their eyes would be open to see what He can give them, and that they would be saved. You see, we need to pray because spiritual fruit can only come from God. I came across an interesting quote as I was reading a Puritan called John Flavel this week. And he preached these sermons in 1689, so a long time ago. And he likened a stubborn, unrepentant heart to like this powerful fortress that a thousand cannonballs simply cannot touch. Or he thought about a wall made of brass, and he says this: it is as easy to make an impression with your finger upon a wall of brass as for the best sermon in the world, in its own strength, to make saving impression upon a sinner's will. You know, as a church, we could have the best sermons, the best program, the best evangelists, the best everything, and those things on their own would have no impression. After all, not everyone who heard Jesus preach believed in him. And you can't get a better preacher than Jesus. We need God. We are completely dependent upon him. We pray because spiritual fruit only comes from God. I watered, said Paul. Sorry, I sowed, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We're also to pray because doors open when God intervenes. Paul says here in verse 3, pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. We need God to give us opportunities. And we need to pray for that. God has given us some opportunities as a church. Marston Court, we can go each month and share the good news of Jesus. The Holiday Bible Club coming up. Different opportunities we have. Our annual summer barbecue attracts lots of people. That's a great opportunity. I was chatting with Martin's dad last Sunday. They were visiting, and Ian Thornley was saying how God had opened this door of opportunity to minister to gypsy people. And it wasn't something that he particularly looked for, but he was approached as he was chatting with some Christian gypsies who were going to a church that Ian was visiting. And when they heard he was a pastor, they invited him to come. He took the opportunity, and there's been fruit as a result of it. We pray because when God intervenes, doors of opportunity open. We also pray because we need God to give us boldness. We need God to give us those words and the clarity. Verse 4. Pray that I may proclaim this message clearly as I should. We are but jars of clay. We feel our weakness and we are weak. We can make no more impression on the wills of people than a finger can make an impression on a wall of brass. But the Spirit uses jars of clay. Just think of those jars of clay that Gideon used with his 300 men against thousands upon thousands of Midianites. Jars of clay. And yet they received great strength from God. I know that you want to see gospel fruit in Marston. I know that you work hard and you pray that fruit would come as a result of our evangelism and that we would grow as we hear God's word. And yet we struggle to pray. Every Christian longs to see other people become Christians. It's one of the marks of a Christian. Because you found life, you found forgiveness, and you have hope. And you want others to have that. That's almost the first thing someone has when they become a Christian. They want others to enjoy it as well. And you long for your neighbours and your colleagues at work to receive this gospel. I want us to be encouraged to pray for that. So we're going to look at this struggle that we have. And we're going to see three things here. Firstly, we need to be persistent in prayer. That's our first point. Be persistent in prayer. Look at verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer. The call is to persist, to persevere in prayer, to go on praying. And it implies that actually it's difficult to go on praying. And in a sense, we find this a relief that Paul has to tell these Christians to persevere in praying, because we think, well, we're not the only ones to struggle with prayer. You know, there may be days when you long to pray, You may find Wednesday morning when you get up thinking, great, today we've got the prayer meeting in the evening. You can hardly get it out of your mind all day. And there may be days like that. But it's probably not every Wednesday. Because we don't naturally feel that urge to pray. There may be prayer meetings that just seem to drag on. You think, when is this hour going to be over? You know, there may be times when you know you ought to pray and actually you would like to do anything else. You'd even like to mow the lawn or wash the dishes, anything but pray. And God's word comes to us and says, go on praying. Persist in prayer. It's easy to give up because we think we're not very good at praying. Now, we can learn to pray. The disciples went to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he didn't say, oh, you can't learn. But he taught them. He taught them the Lord's Prayer. Isaac Watts, who wrote many hymns, he said in his book on prayer that all things being equal, he who prays most prays best. You learn it as you do it. Sometimes we can think that the only prayers that count are the ones that really flow. And of course, it's a wonderful thing when we find our prayers flowing and our hearts engaged, and we think that those prayers that are a struggle really count for nothing. Well, notice here in verses 12 and 13, we didn't read it, but it speaks about Epaphras. Epaphras from chapter 1, we learn, was the one who had gone to Colossae and had brought the message of the gospel, and the people had believed through his message. But he goes on ministering to these people in prayer. Verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Wrestling in prayer. It's not a pretty picture. You know, when two people are wrestling, there's nothing kind of refined about it. They're just desperately, with sweat and toil and pain, trying to overcome something. Prayer doesn't need to be a refined, pretty thing. Do not think that it's only those eloquent, flowing prayers that really count. It's the earnestness. It's the wrestling, which is not very pretty. You know, often we think that we're too sinful to pray. After all, doesn't James tell us that it's the prayer of a righteous man that is effective? And we think, well, I can't really pray. I know I'm so sinful. But we forget that that very same verse, James 5 and verse 16, begins with talking about confession. Confess your sins to one another. You see, sin does not need to stop us praying. Because the first thing we need to pray is confess our sin. And as we confess our sins to God and to one another, if we've offended another brother or sister, we receive God's forgiveness. And so we can pray. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He always wants us to feel defeated. You feel defeated this morning? Maybe it's Satan's work in your heart. Satan does not want you to pray. But the Lord does. And he urges us to go to him with our sins, not to run away. His is a throne of grace. He constantly pours his grace on us. And so when we feel our sinfulness and don't feel like praying anymore, he calls us to come. Have you ever heard Jesus saying, go away? No, he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You feel your burden today? Jesus Christ calls you to come to him. You come to him in prayer. He says, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. He taught us that parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee. And the prayer that God listened to was the prayer of the tax collector, who said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus is teaching us. Jesus is urging us again and again to come to him with our sin. That's the gospel message. When we feel a failure before God, do not run from him. When you feel your sin, do not think you have to cower in a corner, but cry out to God and say, God, have mercy on me again today. And I have to do that every day. I know what it's like. Every day I have to say, God, be merciful to me. But as we do, he welcomes us. He forgives us. And we can bring our prayers to him. Or you say, well, life is just so busy. You know, I've got to get to work. I've got demands in my family. There is so much I have. You know, people have always been busy. I can remember reading a book on prayer written by Campbell Morgan about 100 years ago. And in it, he said, you know, the people are so busy. You think, well, what did they do with their time? They didn't have computers. They didn't have cars. You know, people are always busy. Actually, there's plenty of reason for us to have more time today than ever before. They didn't have washing machines then. They didn't have dishwashers. They didn't have cars. It took longer to travel. It took longer to do your laundry and your dishes. You know, when we started Master Neighbourhood Church, we deliberately set out not to have many meetings. I'll talk more about that next week, God willing, when we think about evangelism. But one reason was so that we would not have so many meetings that people had no more time for prayer, also for evangelism. And I thank God that our Wednesday prayer meeting is well attended. And over the years, pretty much most people who can make it do make it on a Wednesday evening. And that's a great encouragement. And I want to encourage you in that. I'm not here trying to bash you because, no, people come to the prayer meeting and that's really encouraging. And let me encourage you also to make and to take those opportunities to pray in your homes as a family, with your husband and wife, maybe meeting up regularly with one or two other Christians each week to pray. We'll be talking more about this, but on the 30th of September, we're planning a morning of prayer. The particular things that we want to pray for at this time, and I'll mention more about that, but a morning of prayer on Saturday the 30th of September. Be persistent in prayer. And part of this means be ready to share things for prayer. Paul says, pray also for us, that God may open a door. Pray that I may proclaim the gospel clearly. We do need to be open and share the things that we need for prayer. And there is opportunity every Wednesday where people can mention things, and people do. But don't wait until Wednesday. Send out an email. Please can you pray? I've got this happening at work tomorrow. Please can you pray for my friend who's, whatever it is, let's pray and share those needs. And keep praying for fruit. Be persistent in prayer. Secondly, be watchful in prayer. Verse 3, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Now, I think there are several ways in which we can be watchful as we pray. And I've got three pictures for you. The first is one of alertness. So think here, children, of the soldier who's on sentry duty, perhaps at night. And why does he need to be on duty? Well, because an enemy may come, they may come and attack the camp. And so the soldier on duty has to be alert, peering into the darkness constantly, listening out for any sounds of movement. And our Lord calls us to be watchful in prayer. Stands in contrast, doesn't it, to the disciples in Gethsemane. Jesus called them to watch and pray with him. And what did they do? They fell asleep. They were no good to anyone in that situation. Now, don't misunderstand me, children. Of course we can have our times to sleep. But when we're praying, that's not a time to sleep. You know, quiet times can become very quiet times sometimes, can't they? Be alert. You see, we need God's strength. We need God's guidance. And so it's vital that we be watchful. And not distracted. Jesus talks about finding a place when you close the door and praying to your Father in secret. Have a place where you can pray. And believe you me, that can be quite difficult when you've got 8 people in your home. But try and find a place where you can pray undisturbed. Stay alert, spiritually alert. I find reading a devotional book. I've been reading John Flavel. Just a couple of sides of John Flavel. Really heartwarming stuff. Find something that you find stirs your spirit, and that will help you. Use a prayer list. You know, really, it is not very technical. A piece of paper and a pencil. Write down situations, names of people that you want to pray for each day. Don't be overambitious. You know, maybe just 2 or 3 people or situations each day. And pray for them. And when you find your mind drifting, just open your eyes and oh yes, I was praying for him. Okay, I've started to think about mowing the lawn, but let's get back to praying for him. And maybe have another piece of paper nearby. When things come into your mind, you've got to remember, just jot them down. They're out of your mind. Yes, I've got to mow the lawn. Now let's get back to praying. Praying with others helps. Don't you find that you can concentrate more and when you're praying with another person? And don't think that somehow praying with other people counts less than when you're praying on your own. All our prayers are important. Pray against temptation. The Lord teaches us to pray that we'll be delivered from temptation and the evil one. So that's the first picture, the soldier who's constantly peering out on sentry duty. Here's another one, the wildlife photographer. Now, if you've watched any wildlife programs, and there's some amazing programs, you will know that the photographer will sometimes have to sit in his or her hide for hours upon hours. Let's say that they're in West Papua, or Papua New Guinea, trying to photograph birds of paradise. And these birds, they're not everywhere. They're not many of them. And you're in your hide, keeping very still, very quiet, with all your cameras there, ready to capture that bird of paradise. Now, you've got to stay focused. You know, if a little troop of ants goes crawling by, you know, you're going to just look at those, and while you're looking at those little ants, bird of paradise flits by and you missed it. All those hours just to look at a few ants. Now, I haven't got anything against ants, but you were there to film those birds of paradise. So here's my point. Be watchful about what you pray for. Keep focused. If you're there to pray for this thing, don't get distracted by the little ants crawling along the path in front of you. You see, our minds can be like a butterfly, just flitting from one thing to the next. And that happens a lot when we're praying. Be watchful. And be watchful in this sense. Because it's easy just to pray for the first thing that comes to mind, and so often they will simply be everyday concerns, which we can pray about, but be watchful, because we need to pray for God's kingdom. That's what Jesus teaches us. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Think of Paul here. He is locked in prison. And he prays for an open door. Which door is he praying to be opened? Not his prison door. It's fascinating, isn't it? It says, pray for us that God may open a door. Ah, he wants to get up. No. Pray that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery. He possibly is thinking about the time when he will have to give his defense when he's on trial. He is not praying to be released from prison, even though, of course, he wants to be released. So stay focused and pray for spiritual fruit. Pray for spiritual fruit. Another way we can be watchful is looking for the outcome, the answers to our prayers. The picture here, children, is of a fisherman's family. Imagine the dad has to go out fishing in his boat with his colleagues. And sometimes these boats go miles and miles out to sea and storms can come. And that's a particularly anxious time for the family back at home. And maybe they're praying. They're certainly looking. Because they're waiting for their dad, their husband, to come home. And they desperately hope that that boat will appear in the horizon because it's so stormy. They're watching. They're watching and watching. Habakkuk was troubled and he brings his complaint to God, but he did not leave it there. He says, I will now stand and wait for God's reply. He looks to see what God will do. Be watchful in looking for God's answer. On the 26th of May 1940, there was a National Day of Prayer. Some of you may have seen Dunkirk, the film that's out now. It's worth watching. And of course, it was a time of national emergency, with the British army on the beaches of Dunkirk, hemmed in by the German army. Some 400,000 soldiers, not just British, but also French and a few other nationalities, but most of the British army were there. Churchill thought maybe we'll be able to get 20 to 30,000 men back. But King George VI called for a national day of prayer. And people flocked to churches on that Sunday. And it was seen as a miraculous deliverance, with some 300,000 men brought across the channel. God brought calm to the sea. Fog descended at one point. The whole evacuation took several days, but it was the most remarkable thing in answer to prayer. Now, if you've been praying on that Sunday, I think you'd be rushing to see what the papers are saying the next day. Looking for the outcome of your prayers. George Muller. Now, wow, George Muller. If you know anything about George Muller, you know that he was a man who prayed. He started these orphanages in Bristol, never asked anyone for money, and yet prayed that God would send and provide for hundreds of orphanages. Orphans every day. Just a remarkable story. You know, he kept a book, thousands of these books, because he recorded every day specific prayers that he had offered. And then on the other side, the other page, he would write down the answers. By the end of his life, he had 50,000 answers to specific prayers recorded in these books. It's just, it boggles the mind, doesn't it? Be watchful. Look to see how God will answer. Because actually, when you're watchful, it encourages you to persevere in prayer. You know, if you offer a quick prayer or even sustained prayer and then kind of forget about it, firstly, you're not going to go on asking. And secondly, you're not going to then be thankful when the answer comes, which brings us to our third point. We're to be persistent in prayer. We're to be watchful. Think of the soldier. Think of the wildlife photographer not getting distracted. Think of the fisherman's family looking for the answer. Be watchful. But now thirdly, be thankful in prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. You know, we tend to take things for granted. We really do. When I was a doctor and I saw people with various ailments, you know, what it did to me was just remind me of how amazing it was that I could do the simple everyday things of life. We do take our health for granted so often. If you've experienced pain, and then it goes, you appreciate your health. We take each other for granted, don't we? You've been taking your family for granted. The meals that are provided. The washing that's done. You know, we take so much for granted, don't we? We take our parents for granted. We take our husband or wife for granted. We take fellow members for granted. We take God for granted. I went to South Africa many years ago for 6 months. And I went in February. It had been a particularly wet, dark, cold winter. And in February, it wasn't yet over. Do you know, every day the sun shone in South Africa. The sky was blue. And every day I appreciated it. I went with a hacking cough that I'd had for weeks, hadn't been able to throw off. Within days it was gone when I arrived in South Africa. And it was just... And I went, why don't the people around me, why are they not enjoying this weather more? You know, perhaps God sometimes withholds his gifts from us so that we will feel our need a bit more and appreciate his answer a bit more. You know, when you read Psalm 119, which you need to read over several days because you can't really read it, well, you could read it in one sitting, but you come towards the end and verse 123 says this, "My eyes fail looking for your salvation." It's the picture of the psalmist. He keeps looking. God has not yet brought it. And then he goes on in verse 126. "It is time for you to act, O Lord." Here's a man who is desperate for God to do something. It's time. God has withheld what he wants. But he goes on praying. "It is time for you to act." And when it comes, how thankful we are. Jesus certainly noticed the ingratitude of those 9 lepers who'd been healed. Only one came back to praise God. And Jesus noticed, where were the 9? We're not 9, we're not 10 of you healed. You see, if watchfulness encourages you to go on in praying, thankfulness does so even more. You got that? Being watchful will encourage you to persevere in prayer. But thankfulness will encourage your prayer even more. In fact, in Moffat's translation of this verse, he writes, "Maintain your zest for prayer by thankfulness," or by thanksgiving. It's as you give thanks to God that you're encouraged to go on praying. So you don't feel like praying. Let me urge you to do this. Just start thanking God. Just for everyday things. Start every sentence with the word thank you. You know, just look around you. Thank you, God, for the sunshine. Thank you for the Weetabix I had this morning. Thank you for And so you start to think, you begin to think of more and more things that God has given you. And actually, though you may start with your daily food, you'll end up praising God for the bread of life, for Jesus Christ who feeds your soul, who gives you eternal life. Start by thanking God. Have you felt like giving up your job this week? Or giving up on that relationship this week? Try thanking God for at least something in your job. And for at least something that person that you find so difficult. And as you thank God, it will help you to pray. Be thankful for answers to prayer. I was encouraged hearing Paul pray as he started with some of the everyday things. The jobs we have, the accommodation. You see, I can remember 14 years in the church. And I can think of most of you, where you are living now is something we prayed about. Remember that? Where you are living now, I can't immediately think of that applies to absolutely everyone, but pretty much where you are living now is something we prayed about. And for many of you, the job that you have now is something we prayed about as a church. The people we baptized, and Paul mentioned some of them, not all of them, but the people we are people that we prayed for. God answered our prayers for them. You know, as a church, we have prayed that God would send out more workers into his vineyard. And we have the huge privilege of, as a church, of being able to send out Philip and to send out Clive. One as a missionary, one as a pastor. Next Sunday is the farewell for Clive and Chashton and Alistair. It is a huge privilege. God has answered our prayers. We prayed for opportunities to share the gospel. God has given them. You see, when you see the answers and give thanks to God, you begin to see how wonderful prayer is. And it encourages you to go on praying. But maybe you've never really prayed. Prayer is not complicated. It's the cry of the heart to God. It's when you feel that need for God, when you're at the end of your own resources, and you say, God, I can't go on. God, I can't sort this out. God, I need you. And if you've prayed that, you're a Christian. That's what a Christian is, saying, God, I need you. And you're believing, you're trusting that God will come to your situation. And when you think of your own life and your mortality and the day when you will die, you cry to God and say, God, I can do nothing when I'm dead. Are you going to save me? Will you save me? God answers. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Not complicated. It's the cry of the heart to God. You don't need fine flowing words. You don't need to be an adult. The youngest child, if a baby can cry, anyone can cry to God. And say, God, come to me. And it is never too late. You may have gone all your life and never prayed to God. Don't think you cannot start now. Cry to him and say, God, help me. I'm terrified of death. God, save me. And he will. Because God loves to hear us pray. I want you to pray for spiritual fruit in your own life, in the life of people around you, in this community. Let's be encouraged as we're watchful and thankful. I'll be quiet for a moment as we reflect each moment.